Lord, thank you for a beautiful morning, just to be able to come and worship you and study about you and learn about you. And I pray that we put that into action and understand you better so that we can glorify you more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this morning we are going to be talking about kings in the Bible. This kind of happened because I was talking to John. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do for Sunday school. And I was talking about the minor prophets. And I said, well, I got sidetracked onto the kings because I was trying to line up kings with the minor prophets. And then it was like, well, maybe we can talk about kings. So we are, and I have probably enough information for about 10 hours. Not that I remember it all, but in some notes and things like that. But so what we're going to try to do, the goal is on this, is to get an overview, a time frame, and maybe this, hopefully this will be helpful for you because it's helpful for me. Because I have to have a simplified understanding of timelines in the Bible so that I can plug things into it and when things are happening. And hopefully this will be helpful for you. We are going to go back to creation and start with this and just get a quick timeline through the Bible. Okay? And then we're going to jump into where the king's at. And I have some handouts for that. So hopefully that will be helpful. Okay, so on this first, we're going to start over here. Who's got any ideas what any of these numbers are? Thinking of scriptural, and I'm not talking so much events as I am maybe people. There is some events, but people, I guess there is multiple events in there. So either one. anybody got any guess on any of these numbers?
Adam and Eve.
Creation. And I want to tell you at the beginning, these numbers are not exact, okay? So if you look and you're gonna, and honestly, nobody has exact numbers, but you'll see they're not exact. So creation, if I spell something wrong, don't correct me. Anything else?
The flood.
The flood, okay, Noah. And that's very debated, especially the first two. Those two both are very debated.
Abraham.
I shouldn't be asking you which number you're saying. You don't have to go in order. Plug out whatever number you want.
Joseph? Pick,
huh?
Joseph,
and which one?
1500? No. Moses?
Moses.
Oh.
Now it gets in the weeds.
Well, you give me this one, you probably won't get
Joshua or Judges.
Judges. Oh. And Judges go from 1300 to, this is a hint for the next one, to about 1000. So who's after the Judges? Okay, so this is the start of it, 1000 BC, or 1050 BC, actually. This one, you're probably not going to get. I'm going to cheat and do your sign, Bubba, because I have trouble with divided kingdom.
Oh.
Rehoboam.
Okay, you guys should get these two. We talked about this last time I did an overview of the minor prophets.
Right.
Assyrian
or Babylon or something.
The exile. So you got the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom, and then you have
the southern.
586, the southern kingdom. Okay. You probably won't get, Dan might get this one because he quoted.
For northern and southern, that's when they were exiled.
So the Assyrians defeated the northern 10 tribes, and the Babylonians defeated the southern 2 tribes.
That's Judah.
Judah and Benjamin, yep.
Okay.
545. Dan, you said this last week in Sunday school.
Oh, boy.
Nehemiah.
Yes. Nehemiah. Okay, so you got the time. This is actually the decree of Cyrus.
this is the beginning. So basically, we'll say this is when they're heading back to from exile. Okay, 515. Probably not gonna get this one. This one is the the temple rebuilt. Okay, 430. You probably won't get this one. Maybe. Somebody get this one, 430? Think of the end of the Old Testament.
Yes.
Malachi. Mal, no idea. You're I think good. That yeah, maybe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we should get this one.
Jesus.
BC.
And 70 AD.
Temple destroyed.
Yep. Okay. So what I'm going to do, like I said, these dates are can be very debated, and there's different, it's close on most of these. Here's how I think, okay? Just to get a timeline in your head that can be very easy to remember. And then you can start plugging in things from there. So if we're going off 6 days creation, we're thinking, okay, this possibly is 4,000 years BC creation. I go here, Abraham. I go here, Moses, Saul, the two kingdoms, 500. We go, we're going to go the temple. Any of these are in this area. You know, either of these, the exile, I kind of think about it in that terms. Returning, let's just go with temple, rebuilt. And then Jesus and destruction. So then what I do, if I can go 4,000, 2,000, 1,500, 1,000, these two, you got to know these two dates right here, especially because we're going to the minor prophets and what we're looking at. These two dates are key with the split of the exile of the northern and the southern.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Could you say the dates for the recording?
Yes, sir. So 4,000 BC creation, 2,000 BC Abraham, 1,500 BC Moses, 1,000 BC Saul, 722 is the capture of the northern kingdom from Assyria, 586 was the southern kingdom with Babylon. 500 BC was the temple was rebuilt. That's when they returned to the land. 4 AD was Christ, and 70 AD was the destruction. Okay, so what we're looking at today, and so I don't know if that's helpful for you. For me, this right here can be helpful because then if I think about Joseph, I'm thinking, okay, I know where to plug him in at. Or the kings, or I think about the exile, I kind of have an idea of where to, a time frame of somewhat when that happened in history. What are you thinking, John?
Are you sure on the 4 AD? Because I just read a whole bunch of stuff that says 4 BC.
Oh, no, yes, I'm sorry, John, it is 4 BC.
Okay.
I don't know, yes, it's not 4 AD. It's 4. So Christ was 4 BC.
Yep,
and actually between 6 and 4 BC is kind of what most would argue. Okay, so we're going to look at the kings. So if you think about the judges beforehand from 1300 to 1000, then we had Saul. Who was our next king?
David. Who was our next king? Solomon. And then we had the divided kingdom.
Okay, so in 930 BC... was the divided kingdom. And this is an important place in scripture when you're looking at the kings, because this is where it divided out between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. You had Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he was over the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. You had Jeroboam, who was Solomon's servant, and he took over the northern 10 tribes. Okay? I'm going to pass out a sheet. There's four there. There is.
turned down the line.
Can you see on yours?
Can you see it? That's a bummer. Okay.
Okay.
Deborah, get one.
Okay, on this sheet, there's like a ton of, this is my thoughts in my head as I printed this out, and I'm looking at this going, okay, I got to write this stuff down because it helps me. Okay. So the northern tribe, when we think about the split of the kingdom, so on the left-hand side of the page, the kings of Israel, there was 19 kings. All kings were evil. There was not a good king in the northern tribes. And you will see, if I wrote up there, you'll actually see it on there. So I did write. So all evil right next to the kings. On the southern, in kings of Judah, we had 6 good kings and 2 good and evil kings. So they started out well and they ended bad. Okay? And you had 20 kings on the of Judah. And so if you remember, the kings of Israel is the northern tribe. So this only went to 722 BC before the Assyrians came in and conquered them and took them away. On the southern kingdom, you had those 20 kings. 6 were good, two were good and evil, and the rest evil. And that ended in 586 BC with the Babylonians conquering them.
So, Ed, between 586 and 545, is that where Daniel is?
Between 586 and 545, yes, you will see Daniel and Ezekiel.
And Ezekiel, okay.
Both of those prophesied during that time. Ezekiel didn't. Actually, Daniel went in 605.
Oh, okay.
Ezekiel went in the second round, and then there was a third round where it was finalized, but those two went in the first two rounds.
First.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Do these dates go all the way across?
Which dates, John?
The dates you have written on the side.
I'll tell you those in a second. Yep, no, they don't. Okay. You will see if, have I chicken scratching that line next to Kings of Israel, relationship to prior king. Okay? So Jeroboam, which we just talked about, was the servant to Solomon. Nadab was the son to Jeroboam. I'm not going to read all these, but do you get the picture? Baasha was not a relation to Nadab. None, if it says there. Elah, captain to Baasha. Zimri, so just down the line. That's the relationship too. And if you notice, there's multiple times a captain or somebody that had no relation most likely killed the king and then took over.
And then okay? It was their son when it says son.
And then it was their son. So
okay.
Like Zimri was the captain of Elah. He took over, killed him, and then Omri, his son, took over. Now, if you look on the kings of Judah, those relationships, you see it's the royal line and it's always the son. Mm-hmm. Which this is what got me off to even studying the kings, because I had no idea there was a queen.
Oh.
I didn't know there was a queen. I was like, there's a queen? So I'm like, that's what got me
scary.
Off on these kings. And I'm like going, yeah, she was scary.
I never
realized it. I don't think I ever heard it. So there's a queen, mother. So, but then if you see the same line goes, and still then it's the son of Ahaziah for Joash on number 8, and then this line continues. So it's the sons all the way through. So the royal line is continued all the way through
till
David.
This is great too, because it shows you Jesus coming from
yes, this whole
line,
because this is the royal line.
Of the royal line. Yeah.
And so hopefully we'll talk about, there's a couple things that are really interesting on the, when we're just going to look at a few specific kings. Okay. So then you'll see next to the sons or relationship to, then I wrote in the prophets. So you'll see next to that, when that prophet during that time frame, he was prophesying during that reign of that king. Okay. And if you look, when's probably the one that, if I tell you, you'll go, oh yeah, look at number 10 on the kings of Judah. If you think about it, what is it, Isaiah 6? It says, during the time when it's brought to the throne room, and he says, in the year of King Uzziah. So that's when he was prophesying. But so that's when he's prophesying. And at the bottom, I have those few written. It says prophets after 586 BC, because after Zedekiah, it's done.
the kingdom, there's no more king. So then it's Daniel, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi prophesy after that. Okay. You see at the top, it's 930 BC is when the divided kingdom happens. It's when this started. Now the date's on the side. This is the end of their reign for just that king. Now, which is interesting because I went through this and I'm like adding this up. And I ended up down here with Hosea at like 689. I'm like, well, that doesn't work because it's in 722. And there's no debate about that when that happened. So then I started to read up and I'm like, then, oh, I remember that when how they say a king reigned was like from, so say I started right now in December. They said that that year, I don't know exactly their timeline or their calendar or how that worked, but if you reigned in this year, like I reigned this year, it's kind of like claiming your kids on taxes. You claimed them all year long, even though you didn't have them, you know? And so what happens is then when he says he reigned 22 years, well, he probably only reigned 21 years or whatever. And so these times you may look and go, oh, that, those are wrong when we add these up. But it's not. It's how they fall. So at 9:11 was the end of the reign of Jeroboam. 9:10 was the end of Nadab, the reign when he ended his reign. So if you look, so it's like, well, there's only 1 year between those two, but he reigned 2 years. It's that. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So all the way down to the bottom, at the end of each one. So Hosea, when the kingdom, when the Assyrians came in and took Samaria, boom, that was done. That was in 722. That was the end of his reign. And then if you look over to the other side, all the way on the right side of the page, you will see Rehoboam. He ended in 914. Abijah ended in 9. It's not there.
No. Oh, my God. They got cut off. That's what you were saying. I'm like, yeah, there's another one over there. Yeah.
Okay, on my sheet, which I'll make another, I'll make good copies for next week when I come, so then we can have it, if this is helpful to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, and on this one, I have written on that side the dates for that.
Cool.
So that, and then ends in 586. Okay, any questions on that handout? I got one more to hand you. And this one was just helpful for me. I wish I could have probably figured out a way to do it better. Blow it up so you could see it. So if you don't have your glasses on, you're going to need them. Anybody over 40? You need another one? Yep. Yeah. Okay, this was helpful for me because it shows going down the line, you'll see on the left side of the page with Jeroboam 1, the first Jeroboam, and then you'll see Saul on the right side of the page. And this is where you start to see, let's trace Jeroboam down for a minute. You got Jeroboam, to Nadab, to Baasha, which was not his son, then to Elah, which was his son, then to Zimri and Omri, which were not his sons. Then it goes down to Ahab, and everybody's heard of Ahab. There's plenty of talk in the Kings about Ahab and Jezebel. There was a gal I knew. Wasn't there?
Yeah.
She worked in my store, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bakery.
She was going to name her, no.
Her daughter
was going to name her son, daughter. Sorry. That would have been really weird, but
yeah.
She was going to name her Jezebel.
Clearly, they don't know the story.
And the mom knew the story, and she's like, you cannot name your daughter Jezebel.
That's a curse right
I mean, wouldn't that be? I'd never heard of anybody. Does anybody know anybody named Jezebel?
They named her Jezebella.
Did they? Well, yeah. that's a little better, I guess, but I don't know.
Too close for me.
Sounds pretty. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. So you have Ahab that married Jezebel, which was a Phoenician queen. He married her. They had two sons and a daughter. So if you look over to the right, that's that Athaliah. That's the queen in the kings of Judah.
No wonder she was so wicked.
So you've got Joram, Ahaziah, and then it goes down and finishes the line here. So it's interesting. Well, we'll talk about it here just for a minute. We'll actually go into the kings real quick. So, but take note of that. That's what kind of this, that made this helpful for me with Athaliah and understanding how that happened. So Jehoram on Judah's side, right below Jehoshaphat. I think it's, I say Jehoshaphat, but John was saying Jehoshaphat last week, so I'm not sure what it is. But right below Jehoshaphat is Jehoram, and he married Athaliah. So is everybody tracking that right there?
Great.
You see it. So Ahab, Jezebel had two sons, Ahaziah, Jehoram, and the daughter Athaliah, which was queen. And in the line after Jehoshaphat, his son Jehoram married Athaliah. Then, so it went down, and then after Jehoram, Ahaziah became king, and then he was killed, and then Athaliah took over. So that's Athaliah's son that was killed, okay? So, any questions on that?
What'd that guy do to get killed in 7 days?
Yeah. We're actually going to look at that in a second. Okay, so what we're going to do real quick, since we'll just a couple minutes, we're just going to spend just a quick overview on Kings. So open your Bibles to 1 and 2 Kings, because that's where all this comes into play. 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. When you read them, you see a lot of similarities. The biggest, does anybody know the biggest difference between the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles? The biggest difference. Just the biggest difference between the Kings and the Chronicles.
Before and after?
Before and after? No.
One of them doesn't give that, the...
I would say that's the biggest distinction. What do you mean by, say before and after, what do you mean?
Chronicles are written after the exile.
Oh, I'm talking about the content in there.
How it's spoken.
Sorry, but yeah, I guess I didn't even know that. So I think I did, actually I did know that, but I just actually read that. I don't know that. Was looking back. Okay, I'm thinking more of the content.
Is the Chronicles more specific, right?
Or more specific on one thing.
Like numbers.
No. Nope.
Like the kings are good or bad. There's something with the...
There is a little bit of a difference. The kings
in,
Chronicles, the kings of Judah get portrayed a little bit better. The good kings
right.
do. But the biggest difference, if you want to think about it in content, it is the kings focus, and I don't want to say focus more, but... Let's start with the Chronicles. The Chronicles focus more on the southern kingdom, where you don't have that as much in 1 and 2 Kings. You don't see nearly the amount of content on the northern tribes in Chronicles. There's not, it's like mentioned, but they focus on the kings of Judah. Okay, so the southern tribes. Where 1 and 2 Kings...
Who tended to be good kings.
Tended to be good kings.
So it was an encouragement for the people who had come back from exile to kind of reclaim their heritage.
Good point.
In Chronicles, because it was written afterwards.
Yeah.
Right, that makes sense.
Okay, so 1 Kings, the Jewish tradition says Jeremiah wrote it. There's plenty of debate on that. You can read up on that. But most say it's unknown. They don't know who wrote the Kings. 1 and 2 Chronicles. Jewish tradition says Ezra, so that there isn't nearly the debate on that. But 1 and 2 Kings and Jeremiah, there's quite a bit of debate, especially because something about the end of 2 Kings, he was writing and talking about Babylon, and Jeremiah would have never, I might not be right on that. Jeremiah ended up in Egypt, but there's some debate on that. For some reason, I'd have to read it again to remember. So, just looking at Kings, if you look at it, starts in 1 Kings. It starts with the death of David, okay, and then it ends up. We spend a lot of time for the first 11 chapters talking about Solomon, okay? Solomon, his wisdom. Solomon then spends a ton of time talking about building the temple. Because that was what David passed on Solomon. A lot of things were set up, but Solomon was the one to rebuild the temple. So we spend all the way through chapter 11 basically talking about rebuilding the temple. Then you start to see in chapter 12, this is where the kings come into effect after the divided kingdom. Thinking, John? Question? Good?
I'm thinking about dates.
Okay. All right. So starting in chapter 12, you see Rehoboam, the divided kingdom. And then you go all the way through through 2 Kings, all the way up to chapter, I'm going to say 17. Is the fall of Israel. So that's the fall of the northern tribe. So everything between chapter 12 of 1 Kings all the way through chapter 17 of 2 Kings is talking about the reign between Rehoboam and the fall of the northern tribes. Okay? And then there's a ton of time spent in the middle about Elijah and Elisha. In like 17 and 18, everybody remembers the story. One of my favorite Old Testament stories at Mount Carmel. It's like, I remember Dan told me this story one day. He came to it and we were standing down in my hallway and he's telling me the story about Mount Carmel. And I was just amazed. I was like, that is incredible faith that he had, that Elijah had. It was like to be able to basically almost antagonistically go after the prophets of Baal. It's like, where's your God? Is he musing? Is he in the bathroom? Is he doing all these things? And it's not like your altar's lit on fire yet, you know, and it's incredible. And he dumps water all over it and God calls down fire and it and consumes it. So this was that. It's a huge portion in Kings, 1 Kings, that deals with Elijah and Elisha during that time of the king. And who was the king at that time? Who's a major focus on during that time of the northern tribe, that king?
Ahab.
Ahab and Jezebel. So that is at that time that's happening. Because you think about those prophets, Obadiah hid all those prophets because Jezebel was out killing prophets. So there was a bunch hidden. And that's when Elijah, after Mount Carmel, if you remember, is when Elijah kind of got scared because he killed all these prophets after Mount Carmel. And then Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And he gets scared and runs and flees. But, okay, so big overview. So 1 Kings, it starts with David's death. The first 11 chapters basically deal with Solomon. Chapter 12, then it's dealing with all the kings, all the way up to chapter 17. Then you have the fall of Israel. And then it's dealing with the southern tribe. Because obviously now the northern 10 tribes are gone. So then we see, starting in chapter 17, all the way through the end, it's 2 Kings. All the way through the end of 2 Kings is dealing with the southern tribes.
So it was over
100 years. And then ends with chapter 25, the fall of the captivity of Judah.
So it was over 100 years from the taking over the northern kingdom before the southern kingdom.
Yes. Yeah, 722 to 586. Huh. And most would say because there was good kings, God spared Judah. There was many good kings. I mean, Hezekiah was a great king. So there was a lot of good things that was happening. And if you see, when you look at the northern tribes, a lot of the really good kings, what did they do? They went in and destroyed all the high places. They went in and wiped all these things out and killed all the prophets of Baal. Because the prophets of Baal came in during the time of Jezebel. That was kind of the main time that Baal worship became just a huge deal. And after that, it was just these kings were coming in, the good kings, and trying to get rid of that. And they would wipe out the high places. And there was some good kings that would restore right worship to God, but didn't tear down the high places. And they would leave them up. But the really good kings wiped it all out. And then their sons would come and build it all back up. And then you'd go through this cycle And it was just crazy. I mean, that they would do this and keep rebuilding and tearing down and rebuilding and tearing down. And yeah.
Sounds like today's government.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Nothing new under the sun, yeah. Okay, so does everybody got kind of a handle on First and Second Kings, kind of a grasp of that a little bit? Okay, so you got First and Second Chronicles. You see a ton of genealogy and this is when you're ever reading the Chronicles and you don't have time, most people skip right over this, the first how many chapters, because it goes genealogy of all the tribes. It's basically from Adam on, and then you've got all the tribes of Manasseh, Levi, all the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you've got genealogy of Saul in chapter 8, the genealogy of the exiles. And then we see David anointed as king in chapter 11. And then it's all the way till, because you see David, and then in chapter 21 and 22, you start to see Solomon, the building of the temple. So you have the same kind of things going on, but Chronicles talks more like about the southern kingdom. So it spends more time talking about David, and then it spends more time talking about Solomon. And then it goes into, let's see, what chapter does it start? You go into 2 Chronicles. All the way, still talking about Solomon, and it's not till chapter 11 that it goes into Rehoboam. So in the whole book of 1 Chronicles, after the genealogies, it's talking about David, spends time in Solomon, and then all the way into 2 Chronicles till you hit chapter 11. Now you're at the same point of chapter 12 of 1 Kings, and you're talking about Rehoboam. And then it finishes out all the kings to the southern kingdom being destroyed by the Babylonians at the end, if you flip all the way to 36. Jerusalem captured and burned in 586 BC. So basically, this whole timeline which you're looking at here, which shows the kings, it starts in chapter 11 of 2 Chronicles and goes all the way to the end of the kings of Judah. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at just a few kings real quick. So let's go back to 1 Kings 12. So this is the start. So who's the king in the southern tribe at the divided kingdom?
Rehoboam.
Who's the king in the northern tribe?
Jeroboam.
Which one was the son of Solomon?
Rehoboam.
How was the relationship from Jeroboam to Solomon?
Servant.
Okay. Rehoboam, I think John was quoting this or talking about this a couple weeks ago. Rehoboam, the Jewish people came, the city came to Rehoboam, and they said, basically, you know what? The yoke was heavy on us from your father. Can you lighten your yoke? And Rehoboam says, my little finger is thicker than my father's thigh. And he says, my father disciplined with whips, I will discipline with scorpions. So the people in the northern tribes were not very happy about this, obviously. Rehoboam then sends his servant or his taskmaster over all this for taxation and labor. He sends it to the northern tribes of Israel, and Israel kills him. So now Rehoboam gets nervous, heads back to Jerusalem because he's like, whoa. Well, Jeroboam comes back. They make Jeroboam king because Jeroboam in scripture was in, don't quote me on this, I'm going to say Egypt. Because Solomon the Lord told Solomon that, told Solomon that I'm going to take the kingdom from your son, and I'm going to give it to your servant. So Solomon's sitting there going, well, I know this is going to happen now. So what does he try to do? He tries to kill his servant, Jeroboam. I mean, it's kind of crazy because you sit and believe and you go, okay, God's going to do this. So now I better kill him. And it's like, well, you think that's going to help? So God being sovereign over everything, what does he do? Now Jeroboam then flees to Egypt. Is it Egypt? Yeah. Okay, so he flees to Egypt. And then after Rehoboam flees back to Jerusalem, Jeroboam comes back and they make him king. Because he's like, now I'm safe. So now Jeroboam is king over the northern tribes. Jeroboam, which is, he's concerned because now he's afraid all the people are going to leave him. So what does he do? He makes a golden calf in Dan and in Bethel. Or it's this way, sorry. Bethel's lower, right above Jerusalem. Dan is kind of the northern tribe. When they always say the whole kingdom, it's like from Dan to Bathsheba. Or Beth, not Bathsheba.
Beersheba.
Thank you. I'm like, I know that's wrong, but I'm not sure what the word is. So Beersheba, so it's usually the whole kingdom. So he builds this golden calf, and he puts it up here in the high places up in the north and in kind of just above Jerusalem so that they could come in and worship. He kicks all the Levite priests out, and I don't know why he would do that, but he does. He removes them all. So all the Levite priests actually end up in Judah. Most of them, I'm assuming most of them. But yeah, because he puts his own priests over these high places and over these two calves that he has. So he's totally disobeying God on how to worship. He has high places, he's got golden calves, because he's afraid the people are going to go back to Jerusalem. He doesn't want them going back to the temple to worship. So he creates this here for. Obviously, then that's a big problem with God. And every king after that is always compared to Jeroboam. It's like you did what was evil in the sight of the Lord because you followed in the ways of your father Jeroboam. And they're all compared to that because all the northern kingdoms are evil. Some more wicked than others, but they were all evil. So that's how it split. So that's where they are, Jeroboam, Rehoboam. And this happened in 930. So the split was in 930. These are the two major kings at the start of that. So let's look at Zimri, which lasted 7 days, right? Okay, so that's in 1 Kings 16, 15 through 20. All right, but they would not listen, but were stubborn as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised the statutes and his covenant that... Oh, what am I in there? I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. Yeah, I'm like, this is not sounding right. Okay, 15. And King Ahaz commanded Uriah the priest, saying, on the great altar, burn the morning burnt offering and evening grain. That isn't it either. Where am I at?
Chapter 16.
I'm confused here.
16:15.
First
Kings.
That's
16.
Oh, there we go.
Last might help.
Yeah, that might help. Thank you. I'm like, neither of these are sounding right. Okay.
Where are we, honey?
We're in 1 Kings. I don't know where I am. 1 Kings 16, 15 through 20. I think. I don't know. I shouldn't say that until I read it.
That's Zimri.
Okay. All right. And the troops who were encamped heard it, said, Zimri has conspired, and he has killed the king. Therefore, all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. So Omri went, I'm going to start. Yeah.
Start
15. Yeah. Thank you. In the 20. Somebody want to read it? Go ahead, Dan. Read that. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah.
Dan read it.
Man.
In the 27th year.
Thank you.
Of King
of Asa,
Asa,
king of Judah. Zimri reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Now the troops were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the troops who were encamped heard it said, Zimri has conspired, and he has killed the king. Therefore all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. So Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And when Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house over him with fire and died because of his sins that he committed, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, walking in the way of Jeroboam, and for his sin which he committed, making Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the conspiracy that he made, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel?
Okay. So you had Zimri, which actually killed the king before him. People were not very happy about that. They went after him. He went into the king's palace, and he burnt the thing down over himself. And so he committed suicide, basically, because he didn't want to be killed. So he took his own life. So 7 days, obviously, people weren't in favor of Zimri being king. And
sounds
Omri.
Like a stressful week.
Okay, well, hopefully I can do better on this next one. Mm-hmm. Real quick, in the northern, when you talk about Omri, it was talking about Tirzah. There was actually like 3 or 4 capitals in the northern kingdom, okay? Tirzah was one of them. Samaria ended up being the last one, is most recognized, because in the northern kingdom, Samaria was the capital, and in the southern kingdom, Jerusalem was the capital, okay? I think it's Omri. He bought a hill that was, and he named it after the owner or whatever it was of the hill, and it ended up being Samaria. And on this hill, it was like a 300-foot hill, and it kind of, you would have to come up on all sides, almost like Jerusalem up on a hill. So anybody that was going to attack had to come charge upward towards them. So it was kind of a safe environment to use it, and they made that the capital. And that's what was captured in 722 when the Assyrians came. They took Samaria. Okay? And that was during the time of Omri when he bought that hill, and that's when it became the capital. Okay, so I don't know if I can do this in like 5 minutes, possibly, because I'm not sure I have it all straight in my own head. But King Ahab. See if we can just spend just a minute about this. So King Ahab reigned 22 years, took the wife Jezebel as his wife, right? And he went and served Baal in the house of Baal. So that was the major issue that happened, why King Ahab was such a terrible king. Is he started out with Jezebel, then that led him into worship of Baal, okay? And that was during the time of Elijah prophesying. The kicker at the end, you'll see a story in Kings about Naboth. Naboth had some land next to the king's palace, Ahab's palace. Ahab wanted this land for a garden. Nahab said, no, this is my inheritance. Naboth said, this is my inheritance. He goes, I'm not giving you this land. And Ahab was going to pay a price for it. And actually, a price probably worth more than it was. He was going to give him a better vineyard, actually, than what he actually had. But Naboth said, no, this is inheritance. I'm keeping this land. This land's worth more than that to me, basically, is what he's saying. Well, Ahab goes home and pouts, gets his bed and wines. Jezebel comes by and's like, what? Why is your head low? Why are you pouting, basically? Because when you read it, it really is sound like he's pouting. You know, it's crazy. And so Jezebel says, no, don't do that, basically. I'll take care of that for you. And so what she does is she says, you know what? Bring Naboth to the table and bring 2 worthless men with him. And have these worthless men lie about that, say that Naboth cursed the king and God. And they do this. They come to the table. They say, these 2 worthless men say, yep, Naboth, he's cursed God and the king. So Jezebel has him stoned. And that didn't go over well with God. So that conspired at a point where God said, I'm going to basically kill every last one of your household. Okay? So, which is interesting. So what I'm going to do just for a second, I hope I can do this without screwing you up. Let's look back at your time, the one that shows the timeline, this one here, the Kings. Okay? So Jehu, if you look below Ahaziah and Jehoram, Jehu basically is the guy that is going to wipe out all of Ahab and Jezebel's family. Okay? And we're not going to be able to go to scripture and look at all this. But Jehu's the one. So what he does is he kills Jehoram. Well, and he doesn't actually kill him at first. What happens, I believe, is, if I remember right, he gets wounded in battle, okay? Then what happens is Ahaziah over on the southern kingdom, right below Athaliah, do you see that? That would be Athaliah's son, because he would be part of Jezebel's family, right? Is everybody tracking with me? Because that would be basically Jezebel's, would that be your grandson?
Grandson.
Yes. So her grandson, Ahaziah. Ahaziah and Jehoram were friends. So Ahaziah hears that Jehoram, the son of Ahab and Jezebel, is wounded and sick. So what happens is Ahaziah goes to see Jehoram. Jehu attacks. They're both there, Ahaziah and Jehoram. God's got this sovereign plan perfect because he's going to wipe out everybody.
Isn't it his uncle?
Don't ask me on those things.
Okay.
I have enough time remembering who my uncles are, let alone trying to figure out other people's. So Jehu then goes up and he kills Jehoram. Ahaziah flees, and Jehu says, kill him too. So he goes and kills him. Then Athaliah becomes queen, and Jehu is reigning at the same time in the northern kingdom, and he has to wipe out everybody. So Athaliah then, I'm wrong on that one. It's not by Jehu. That one is by Jehoash. The first two were killed, so the only one that's left in the royal line then would be Athaliah. Mm-hmm. And she has to die in the same way Jezebel did and everybody else. And that was, you're going to be killed, you are not going to be buried, the dogs are going to eat you. Because if you remember the story of Jezebel, Jehu comes in, she pretties herself all up, I'm not sure why, pretties herself up, and Jehu throws her out the window. And she's trampled by horses and killed. And they actually say, well, let's bury her. But the time they go eat and drink first, the time they get down there, the dogs have eaten her, and there's only basically a hand and something else left. So the prophecy of the Lord came to be fulfilled, that's how that was going to happen. And Athaliah ended up the exact same way, the whole family of Ahab. Okay, I'm going to end there. I know there was a lot there, and I hope that was somewhat helpful, as in a little bit of an overview and not too, so hopefully that'll help too when we go through the minor prophets. Then we can look at these charts too and be able to plug in when the king was and who it was at that time. Okay. All right, thank you.